Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm always amazed when church members text me during the worship service. You're just like, really? Because you didn't kind of like think that I might be busy right now? But anyways, Andrea is not up there. She's very sick, and she wanted us to know that. Sorry that she couldn't come, but I mean, when you get it that way, you're like, oh, okay, well, that's, see, everybody, every one of you said, oh, okay, well, that's different, you know, and it's nice that she was that thoughtful, and I'm hoping, you know, we can be that thoughtful, too, in our care for her. So, have you ever noticed how Luke just seems to love history? He just seems to love history. Every time he begins a story, it seems like. Every time, Luke, chapter 1, all right, here we are in chapter 1, verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, a priest named Zechariah of the division, like we care what division Zechariah is a part of, but in case you do, it's Abijah, and he's married to this woman, his wife, and she's Elizabeth, and she's from the daughters of Aaron, and he just goes on and on and on as if we care. Who are these people? I don't know. Luke, chapter 2. Now, this one we know a little bit. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. That's right. That all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of, come on, you remember, Linus told you this, of governor of Syria. All right. And then what poor Ben got stuck with, chapter 3. So Zechariah, see how Luke does? He just, a little bit here, chapter 1. A little bit more, chapter 2. Chapter 3, oh my God. Did you hear all those names he had to read? Did you hear that? Weren't you glad that you weren't the worship leader today? All right? In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, being governor of Judea, and Herod, we heard Pilate before. We know that name. Herod, we know that name. Being Tetrarch of Galilee, we've heard that name before. And his brother Philip, we don't know that name. Tetrarch of the region of Iturea. Oh, yeah, we know where that is. We went there for summer. And Trachonitis, all right. And Licinius, nobody knows who he is. Governor of Abilene, all right. And the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God. You see? Why does Luke tell us this stuff? I mean, is he just like some history whiz kid and wants to show off? Don't you wish that you were smart like me, had history like me, got an SAT, just going all the way, and I'm so pleased, and just going on it? Or another way to look at it would be that Luke wants to anchor his story. Luke wants to anchor his gospel story in real time, with real people, with real historical figures. This is not some mythological story in some fairy tale land. This is not in a galaxy far, far away. Luke is telling us that the gospel story is our story. It happens here. In our time, in our history, this is the way it is. The problem is, of course, we don't know these people that he's talking about. We don't, really. I mean, who knows who these people are? They lived so long ago, and it's hard for us to make any connection with what kind of influence they may have had and how things may have been. But what if you were to hear it this way? When Donald Trump was president of the United States and Rick DeSantis was governor-elect of the state of Florida and CNN and Fox News were battling to be the high priest of American civil religion. Well, see, now you're thinking, oh, I know that. I know, I've heard of Trump. I've heard of dissent. I heard of Fox and CNN. That's what Luke is doing. Luke isn't trying to bore. He wrote it 2,000 years ago. At that time, these were the current leaders. And so when Luke's people heard this, they knew who exactly he was talking about. They represented the political and social and economic powers of the time. And it wasn't always going well for them. It wasn't always going well for them. And Luke is here to remind us that in such times, God's word comes. In such times, God's word comes. And every year during the season of Advent, the way the Bible helps us get prepared for Christmas, helps us prepare for the birth of Jesus, is by telling us about John the Baptist. Every year we hear about John the Baptist and his message. Luke is trying to remind us that God's hope is as real as the time that we're living in. This is not about some future by and by eating hot, pie in the sky with God way up high. This is here. This is now. God's word doesn't come when everything is right. God's word comes to us when everything is wrong. Yep. That's when we're able to go to God's word. John is in the wilderness. Not a person here doesn't know what that's like. You ever known hard times? Ever have your heart made desolate? Know what it's like to live in darkness and fear? Oh, yeah, we know about the wilderness. There are different kinds of wilderness. There's the wilderness of drug abuse and domestic abuse. There's the wilderness of financial insecurity, health insecurity, relationship insecurity. There's the wilderness of failure. There's the wilderness of depression. There's the wilderness of loneliness. There's all kinds of wilderness. And we often think of the wilderness as being a really bad place. No one wants to take a vacation and go out in the wilderness except for campers, and they're stupid. Who wants to pretend they're homeless? I work too hard for that to happen. We forget sometimes that the wilderness is a place of transformation. The wilderness is where God saved Hagar and her son. The wilderness is where God spoke to Moses. That's where Moses heard God's voice. It wasn't in church. It was in the wilderness. The wilderness is where God nurtured the people with manna and quail and water. The wilderness is where God guided people with a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. God uses the wilderness as a place of transformation. John helps us prepare for Christmas by reminding us that the way to get ready isn't by pretending that everything is okay, but by reminding us that God, what can we talk about in Bible study? God's in the road construction business. He's about tearing down those mountains that are obstacles before us. He's about filling in those valleys of despair that haunt us. He's about straightening out those twists and turns of the life of maze that all too often confuse us. John is reminding us that the way to get ready for Christmas is to get real. Luke is reminding us that real power is not politics. Real power is not in the social or economic arena. Real power comes to us in the wilderness of our lives. Luke is reminding us that the way things are is not the way things are going to be. God is transforming. Not only geography, God is transforming us. The way to get ready for Christmas is not by pretending. We don't pretend that everything is okay. We don't pretend that it's not dark. We don't pretend that we're good enough. The way to get ready is not by pretending. It is by preparing. And the time to prepare is now. I shared with you a few weeks ago, Noah didn't build the ark when it started raining. He started working on that ark long before the first raindrop fell. Abraham and Sarah walked forever. Have you ever read the book of Genesis? And they are walking. They're not in some RV Okay? They ain't staying in any hotels. No, no. They are in the wilderness going on and on. And there's no maps. There's no GPS. There's no directions. There is absolutely nothing to guide them except the promise of God.
Yep.
Are we there yet? No, not yet. Are we there yet? No, not. Can you imagine saying that year after year after year? And they're old. They're not like 20-somethings. They're moving on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Wilderness, the wilderness. The wise men began that journey. If you've ever plotted it along, the wise men began that journey. It wasn't like they waited for Mary and Joseph to give them a birth announcement. They started that journey way before Jesus was born. That's what we do as people of God. We get ready before the event happens. That's what it means to be prepared. Part of the Christmas journey is to continue to believe even in the face of current events, to trust in the one who is coming. The wilderness is marked by one characteristic. Only God can do anything with it. Only God can do something about our wilderness. And John reminds us, as God is sharing that vision through Isaiah, that part of being a Christian is to remind each other that what we see on Fox News and CNN News is not the real news. The real news is the gospel. The gospel. Power is not in the White House. Power is not on Wall Street. Power is not in our bank accounts. It's not in our pension funds. It's not in our paychecks. Real power is not what we see on TV. Real power is what we see and experience in the wilderness of our lives. Real power is when God comes to us in our hearts and we experience the transforming power of God's grace. And the broken places inside of us are made whole. And the wounded places inside of us are given healing. And those times of despair are replaced with a vision of hope. And our hope, as the Bible says, does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out for us in Jesus Christ. We get that history lesson to remind us that God's promises are real. Just as real as the time we're living in now. As real as the cross and the manger. As real as a birth and a resurrection. As real as the wilderness we live in and the transforming power of God's grace. Amen.
Amen.